वर्स नंबर 33।
अक्षराणामकारोऽस्मि द्वन्द्वः सामासिकस्य च अहमेवाक्षयः कालः धाताहं विश्वतो मुखः।
सो अक्षराणाम् अकारो अस्मि। सो अक्षराणाम् मीन्स् अमंग ऑल द अल्फाबेट्स अकार द लेटर ए अ अकार अस्मि आई एम। सो अमंग ऑल द लेटर्स आई एम द लेटर ए एंड दैट इज वेल नोन यू नो इन एनी अल्फाबेट वेदर इट इज इंग्लिश और फ्रेंच और हिंदी और गुजराती और तेलुगु और संस्कृत। What is the first letter everywhere? A, A, right? Is there any language in the world that doesn't have A? No. So, A or A in India, in the Indian languages, is the first letter of the alphabet. So, the idea being that anything that, like you cannot have 26 letters of the English alphabet without the letter A. Like Raman Maharishi in one place, he says, without knowing who you are, it's like trying to count from 1 to 10 without the number 1. We don't have number 1, but I want to count. You can't. So similarly, A is the first alphabet, first letter in the alphabet. And so the beginning of any teaching, any learning, when the child first goes to school, the teacher says A for apple, B for bat. Not only that, but when the child is growing up, the baby is born, A is the thing that the child says it very quickly. She says, ah, you know, that's why mama, papa. It is very easy for the child to say because ah, the word ah comes out very easily from the mouth. Also, Swamiji in his commentary says that the Sanskrit language, which is actually the most pleasing to the ear, if you hear Sanskrit chanting, it is so pleasing, it is so mellifluous. And the reason is that all the letters end with A. They have an A to emphasize, so it makes that letter soft. Like some of the languages, you know, you hear them, if you don't know the language, and God, they are talking. You know, it's like you think that they are fighting. You know, some of the languages are very harsh. Like when, you know, some of the languages, when you hear them, you're like, what is that sound? But the Sanskrit language, because it ends with, every word ends with A, has an A added. It's very soft. It's very soothing. It flows very smoothly. Like even in this verse, you see, it says, Aksharanam akaro. Akara means it's akaraha asmi, but because of the sandhi, it has become akaraha, dvandaha, samasikasya cha, and then akshaya, kalaha. So everywhere the a has been dhataham vishvato mukhaha. So by adding that extra a, it makes the sound more soft, it makes the sound more pleasing. And that's what they say, that the Sanskrit shlokas, these Vedic chanting from the Vedas, when they are chanted in a room, that's why a lot of people play, you know, Vedic chants in their house, or they even have people come home to do the Vedic chanting, because the chanting of those verses leaves a very good vibration in the atmosphere. Why? Because these verses of these Vedas were not written by an individual. Somebody did not sit down and say, oh, you know, I'm going to write it. But these rishis in their deep meditation, they became one with that consciousness and they heard these verses in their meditation. That's why the Vedas are called Shruti. Shruti means heard. So the Vedas were heard by these masters in their deep meditation. And it is amazing that they actually memorized that. When they were listening, they were memorizing and then they were able to repeat that to the students. And that's why all of the Gita and all of the Upanishads are very, like in a sung in a poetical form with meter. and it sounds very soothing. So that's why he says, I am the A that makes all sounds nice, and I am the A that is the beginning of all the alphabets. That's what the Lord is. Dvandva samasikasya cha. Among all the compounds, I am Dvandva. Now, compounds are like when there are words are put together to make, like two, three words are put together to make one word. And Sanskrit abounds in those. Sanskrit has so many. In fact, there are some words that in some of the Upanishads where the word is so long that it actually makes two or three lines. It goes on for two, three, and it's all one word. They combine so many words and to make out, and then the meaning of that word is amazing. And that's why the Upanishads and all cannot be studied by yourself. You cannot pick up a dictionary and Sanskrit to English and try to translate it. You need a good teacher like Swami Chinmayananda or Ishwarananda or somebody like that who knows Sanskrit and can interpret those scriptures for us. So these compound word I am. So what does he mean by dvandva? That means two. When two are combined, then that is called dvandva. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we find so many examples like sukha, dukha, same kritva, labha, labha, jaya, jayo. So jaya, ajaya, labha, alabha, sukha, dukha. That means joy and sorrow, gain and loss, victory and defeat. And then another place it says, Shitoshna Sukha Dukheshu Samasanga Vivarjitaha. So, Shit Ushna, heat and cold, Sukha Dukha. So, when these two are combined, they create a very clear picture. When he says heat and cold, what he means is all physical discomforts that can come. Health and ill health, everything. When he says joy and sorrow, all the mental problems that can come in the mind, you know, anger, jealousy, greed, love, compassion, all of this. When he says victory and defeat or success and failure, all the intellectual, you know, concepts that can happen, you know, praise and blame and all that. So, these compounds are not only the mixture of two words, but give us a wealth of meaning of what this word represents. So he says, among all the compounds, I am the dvandva, where two are combined. In fact, this whole universe is a manifestation of dvandva. You know, it is Purush and Prakriti. Purush being the spirit and Prakriti being the matter, the world of matter. And it is the Purush and the Prakriti, the spirit and the matter, that dvandva, that pair came together and created this whole beautiful universe. So the Prakriti, the matter was required. The Purusha, the spirit alone cannot do, you know, cannot function in the world. The spirit needs matter to function. That's why, you know, the spirit may be there, but for the spirit to manifest, it needs a living form. It could be a man or a woman. It could be a dog or a cat or a plant or a flower or a fish. So matter is required, and then of course matter without spirit is useless. You know, if there is no spirit, no consciousness, you know, in us, then we will be lying here flat and somebody will have to carry us to the closest cemetery. So the spirit is required to enliven and matter is required to work. So that dvandva I am. So he says, I am the pair of two among all the compounds. Among all the compounds, like there are complicated compounds in Sanskrit. Aham eva akshaya kalaha. And I alone am kala. I am time akshaya, which is indestructible. And that's what they say, that time and tide wait for no man. You know, there's a famous saying. That time is eternal. Time was there, right there before, and then time is, you know, happening now, and then time will be in the future. You and I will be gone, but time will be still there. You know, they have all these songs in the films, you know, we will be gone, but we will meet somewhere up there. And You know, there's a beautiful song, Naam Gum Jayega, Chehra Ye Badal Jayega. That's a very beautiful song. That I will be gone, but we will meet somewhere in some other world. So time is the one that is the most powerful entity, because time controls everything. And we say, I am all under the control of time. And then like last week we had talked about, we get so stressed out because time, I don't have time. So they say, how do you go beyond time? There is only one way, you know. The one way is to be in the present. Live in the now, as Eckhart Tolle says, in the power of now. And you contact that timeless reality. Because that reality, God or consciousness or Brahman or Father in heaven or Allah, whatever you want to call, is the entity that is beyond time. Even before time started, the Lord was there, and then time emerged, and that's when the first creation happened. Everything was created in time. So how do we go beyond time? They say, be in the now. So how can you, what can you mean by being in the now? How am I going to go beyond time? Why does time persecute us? When does time persecute us? When I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the past. Mujhe wo nahi karna chahiye tha. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I say that to him? You know, if I hadn't said it, you know, that ruined my relationship, and then that person went and criticized me to so many people, and then I lost the contract, and oh, I made such a mistake. I shouldn't have. So I either have regrets of the past, or I have anxieties of the future. You know, things are okay now, but I don't know what's going to happen next year. You know, the economy is so bad. And then if we have Obama another 4 years, the country will be hell. Or a Democrat might say, you know, if Romney comes. So we are always worried about the future. You know, my job, I don't know now. You know, there's so many layoffs. So we don't enjoy the present, what I am doing right now, because either I am regretting the past or I have anxieties of the future. But what they say is that every action can only be done in the now, can only be done in the present. Can you go back and change what you did? No, you cannot. Not only that, but say a year ago when I did something, I did something wrong or I did something good. Did I do it in the past? No, I did it in the now. When I threw a rock at that glass and broke the glass and then I got punished for it, at that time I was doing it in the present. So all activities can only occur in the present. Then you cannot say, I'm going to throw the rock yesterday. No, I'm going to throw the rock right now, or I'm going to write this book right now. I cannot write it yesterday. Or now, can I write it in the future? No, when I'm writing the book, it is now. And even two days from now, when I write the next page, I will again write it in the now. And again, a year from now, when I didn't finish the book, again, I will write it in the now. So they say that when you are in the present, focused, and also in meditation, you know, that's what we teach. You know, in meditation, that stay in the now, stay in the present. And when you are in that present, then you are in touch with that formless, infinite reality. You are in contact with him. That's why in Buddhism, there is a very beautiful teaching. It is called Kshanikavada. Kshanikavada means, vada means the science. Kshanika means being in the Kshana, in the present. Because what Buddhism teaches, it's very interesting. They say that there is constantly birth and death of moments. Like I'm speaking, so this moment is dead, but the next moment has come when I'm speaking more. And then I become silent, and then I speak more and more and more and more. And then the talk never ends. And people say, when is this guy going to stop so we can leave? But The speaking goes on, but it is moment. There is one moment is dying, other moment is being born. One moment is dying, other moment is being born. So the Kshanikavada. So stay in the present. Do what you are supposed to do at this moment. That's what the whole essence of the Karma Yoga is. that do your best at that moment while you're doing your activity. Do not worry about the future. Do not worry about the result. Do your best and the result will automatically take care of itself. So I am that infinite time, but I can be accessed in the present. That's an addition to this particular line, that the Lord can be approached only in the now, only in the present. You sit down and now, and he is right there with you. This reminds me of a beautiful story. Einstein, you know, who discovered the theory of relativity, was a great physicist. He was a very gentle, very spiritual person, very patient. But it so happened that he went to talk, some lecture being given by some speaker. And so he was sitting down with a friend, and the speaker was going on and on and on and had no direction, no goal, was just speaking constantly, not stopping. And after half an hour, Einstein, you know, listened to him patiently. And then he says to his friend, he says, "I only discovered relativity. This guy has discovered eternity." So, anyway, so the idea is, I am the eternal time. Then he says, "Dhata aham." Dhata actually has been interpreted two ways in the various commentaries I was reading. One is dhata and one is data. So let us take each meaning separately. What is dhata? Dhata means the support, the substratum, the support. So the whole world is held together by the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, another place, the Lord very beautifully says, "Matav parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam proktam sutre mani ganamiva." So he says, I support and hold this whole universe together. Nothing is outside me or beyond me. And in fact, I am supporting it like a necklace is supported by the thread. You have a thread. Now the beads of the necklace are held by the thread. If the thread was not there, sutre mani ganamiva. If the thread was not there, the beads would disperse, would fall apart. There would be no necklace. You don't see the thread, but the thread is necessary for the necklace to be, for the beads to be held together. So the Lord says, I am the thread that supports this whole necklace of this whole beautiful universe. Not only within that, outside, but even within me. It is the consciousness. You know, my body has four billion cells. Now, each cell is working in perfect harmony with another cell. The hand doesn't say, you know, this mouth gets to eat all the food and I have to feed the mouth and why can't I eat? I feed them. No, the hand feeds the mouth and then the mouth puts the food down to the digestive system and then the digestive system digests all the amino acids and then the hand gets fed. The hand gets taken care of. So they're all the parts of the body are working in harmony. Even when we are asleep, you know, the heart is beating, the lungs are breathing, you know, all the digestion is going on. Why? Because of the presence of consciousness. Even when I'm deep sleep, you don't have to tell your heart, okay, stop beating. No, the heart is beating on its own. So it is the consciousness that is the thread that is holding my thoughts, my emotions, my activities of the body. So that's why he says, I am the dhata, I am the support, I am the substratum, and I hold everything, including in your body, I am that which is holding your body together. Another meaning that some of the commentators call it as dhata, that means I am the giver. And, you know, everybody knows, you know, whatever I have, Lord, has been given by you. My intelligence, my body, my mind, my ability to earn, whatever, my house, my car, my business, my everything is yours. This whole universe, I didn't create it. You are the one that gave me. You know, okay, I say I built the house myself, or I had a contractor build it, but did you build those rocks, you know, that went in there, and the bricks, and the, you know, the cement, and the steel, and nothing. We didn't build anything. Everything we took from this earth, and then we So he says, I am the giver. Another meaning of data is that he is called as the karma phala data. I am the giver of the karma phala. I am the giver of the results of the karma. Like you can put a seed in the ground, but can you make the seed grow? You put a mango seed. No. You can put fertilizer, you can put water, you can put everything. But until that Lord's energy is there, that seed is not going to become a plant and give you the beautiful fruit. So all the fruits are given by me. But this can be extended further, why does God give somebody, more and somebody give less, like 8 people run in the race, right? In the Olympics, 8 people are running from all different countries. Only one gets the gold medal, the other 7 don't. They say, why did God favor that one person and gave him the gold medal? All of them trained equally. Or there are 2 students who sit down and study till 2 o'clock in the morning, because they have finals next day. And one student ends up with an A+, another one ends up with a C. And then the one with the C says, God, you are favoring this boy, I worked equally hard. I was up till 2 o'clock. But karmas, they are both are doing, but the phala is different, depends on the activity. While I am doing the activity, is my mind in it? Am I doing it with full intensity? Was my mind quiet and peaceful? One child was studying and he was totally focused on the study. Other child was studying and his mind was on, the video games, or his mind was on the movie that he is going to go tomorrow. Or he was very upset because his girlfriend had not talked to him in a week. So they are both sitting down and studying. One is focused on the activity. Other one is sitting with the book. The eyes are there, but attention is not there. So depending on your feet. And then also like in the Olympics, 8 people train, but how much effort they put in there. Also, what were the circumstances? Maybe one had a better coach. One had a more abilities, whatever. So the result depends on thousands of factors. You don't have any control over the result. All you have control over is do your best and at the moment totally focused, and then leave the rest to the Lord, or not so much is the Lord. It is the law of karma. That the law of karma will automatically give me the result I deserve. Swami Chinmayananda says that you get what you deserve, not what you desire. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. So you do your best activity, and if you deserve it, you will get it. And so when things are not going well and when I have problems in my life, either I can sit down and blame God, you have nothing better to do, you sit up there and all the world's sorrows, you have found just me to give. Why can't you give it to my neighbor? Look, he looks so happy. He's such a crooked person. Or you can say, Lord, it's okay. I must have done something in this life or in my previous life because of which it is happening. I accept that. And I cheerfully accept it without complaining, without blaming him. And then go on with my life. And then what happens is that same sorrow becomes less. One, if you blame somebody, then it will become more. If you say, I caused it. It's like you put your own finger in your eye. You don't take a knife and cut off the finger because it hurt my eye. You say, you forgive it. Okay, I just made a mistake and I did. But suppose my brother-in-law, whom I don't like, and he puts his finger in my eye. Would you think I'll forgive him? I'll call him 10 galis, maybe even slap him, So when somebody else does it, we instantly, blame it. But when I did it, it's not my fault. So similarly, when things are going bad, I caused it. Nobody else. It's not my husband, not my wife, not my boss, not my neighbor, not my child. Whatever is happening, I am the cause of it. And then I have nothing to blame. Nobody to blame. So that's what he says. I am the giver of data. I am the giver of the karma phala data. Because the fruit always comes after the action. The result, like the seed has to be planted first, the fruit comes afterwards. So he says, I am the karma phala data. I am the giver of the all the results. Then he says, Vishvato mukhaha, and I am the all the faces in the world. All the faces I am. He said, you are all, yep. The beautiful ones, yep. The ugly ones, yep. You know, the sick people, yes. The healthy people, yes. You know, the good people, yes. The evil people, yes. You are all of them, yes. Then how can there be such a variety? How can there are good people and ugly people and bad people and wicked people and saints and sinners and criminals? They are all me, he says. All the thousand faces. A thousand means all the millions and billions of faces are the Lord. In fact, the Purush Suktam, which, you know, they chant in our homes, which is one of the most powerful hymns, it starts with that Sahastra Shirsha Purushaha Sahastraksh Sahastrapat the Bhumir Vishvato Vritva Atyatishthat Dashangulam. So he says this Purusha, this Lord has thousand faces, Sahastra, thousand heads, thousand eyes, thousand feet. Thousand is they're using. What they mean is all the feet are his, all the faces are his, all the heads are his, all the eyes are his. So the idea being that I am the consciousness that is there, the substratum, like we have studied before, everything emerges from me. In fact, the 11th chapter, which we will be doing next, shows us very, very graphically, very dramatically how the Lord is there and the entire universe is in him. That's what the student Arjuna sees. So he says, Dhataham Vishvato Mukhaha. All the universe is in me. And then we have studied before, the consciousness is the same in all of us, but the evil or the wicked or the good are because of the vasanas. Because of my tendencies, I may be a saint, I may be a sinner, I may be a good person, I may be a criminal. So it is because of my tendencies. So he is not responsible. These are because of our own efforts. He said, if tendencies, I was born with these vasanas. Why did he create me with these vasanas? He did not create. He only gave you the consciousness. You created your own vasanas. We all create our own vasanas through multiple lifetimes of effort. Like I'm born with certain tendencies. And then in this life, I accumulate more tendencies by repetitive actions. By doing more and more actions, you build up the character, you build up more vasanas, and they could be good or bad. Vasanas are not always bad. They could be a good tendencies, you know, a tendency to love others or to serve the world or to study spirituality or to go and travel to all the pilgrimage centers or meet the saints. So they could be good tendencies or they could be evil tendencies to rob the world, to hurt others, to be mean, to be malicious. And the more you repeat, you know, greed, you know, wanting more and more and more and more, more money, more power, more. So the more you repeat, the more the tendencies increase. So he says, I am the consciousness and all the faces are mine. As we have talked before, that idea being that all the everything is the Lord, the Lord's creation alone. So we can pause a few minutes if anybody has any questions or comments about the substratum, self-knowledge, anything. No, that's a very good point. Because the amount of mistakes we have made, if he had counted all of them, you know, we would have never even been alive. And you're absolutely right. Most of us, all of us get more than we deserve. Not, it's,
if you keep saying that, then I think you get more happier.
True. No, it's a very good point. Thank you. Yeah, because I all the time feel that I really don't deserve all that has been, especially in this country. You know, we have so much, plenty of everything. And we really don't deserve it, considering all the actions I have done, how much he has blessed us. Every morning I get up and thank him, and he's so kind and so compassionate and so loving. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a very good point. We actually, all of us get actually a lot more than we deserve. He's the compassionate giver. He's constantly giving. That's why he says, Dataham. I am the giver. The problem is we are not available to take it. you know, we don't have this attitude. Taker does not mean that you take, but the gratitude and the willingness to accept, you know, that the Lord, you have given me plenty. I'm so thankful to you. Let me share what you have given me. And that is very important. What we do is we just keep on taking, okay, aare, aane do, let the Lord give. But one has to then become a giver also. I don't just keep everything. If I get more than I deserve, then it is my duty to share, because there are so many, they say, I worked hard and I earned the salary and I built the house and I have money in the bank. Why should I share it? But did you work hard to get the sunlight? Every morning you're getting sunlight that is nourishing you. And without the sunlight, would you be able? Did you work for that? No. Did you create the breeze that you are breathing? Did you create this beautiful, clean water? You know, every day I turn on the tap and I say, oh my Lord, how wonderful you are. 7 billion people in the world, and some people just turn the tap and leave it running and waste the water. And he never gets upset. He just keeps sending more rain and more snow and nourishing all the 7. How kind and compassionate. Just the act of turning on the tap should remind you of the Lord. He's right there. You know, this beautiful, clean water that comes out. Where did it come from? You know, the rain. And how all the 7 billion people are nourished. You know, where does that all come from? So every action should remind you of the Lord. Just the fact that you wake up in the morning, you should say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day. And when you go to bed at night, say, Lord, thank you for another day. I hope I was able to do something to make this world a better place. I hope I was able to help others. And that is how one should start the day and end the day. That let me, oh Lord, do a little bit at least to make this world a better place, to help others. Let me give my hand to somebody, or let me share somebody. So that, yeah, thank you. That's a very good point. Oh, okay, I'll just explain this chart, because we do this actually in the Thursday class. We always explain it. But anyway, that's a good question. So we have 5 minutes and a lot of people are new. So this BMI chart, those who come to the Thursday class have heard it many times. But the body, the mind, and the intellect. The body, we all have the same human body, right? That is, there's some differences, male and female, young and old, black and white, short and tall, but we all have the same human body. And with the body, I become a perceiver of objects. With my eyes, I see. With my ears, I hear. With my nose, I smell. With my tongue, I taste. With my skin, I touch. So I see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. This whole universe of objects, starting from the ant on the ground to the sun in the sky, everything. With the mind, I feel the emotions in the mind, the joy, sorrow, anger, hatred, jealousy, greed. So the mind is the seat of emotions. And the intellect is where I think the thoughts, the concepts, like physics, chemistry, mathematics, also in the intellect, what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I should not do, what is good, what is bad. So that all I think in the intellect. So this is me, this is the world, and this is my relationship. I am the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. So this is me and this is the world. So this is the chart, this is me and this is the world. And vasanas are our tendencies, our habits, our predispositions, our character. Like an alcoholic drinks because he has an alcoholic vasana. A basketball player plays basketball because he has that vasana. A spiritual person goes to a swami and learns because he or she has this vasana. So vasanas are our tendencies, which are in the subconscious mind, which we are not aware of. But it is because of, you say, I don't know why I did it, you know, because it is the primordial tendency. So that is called vasanas. And these can be good or bad. They can be good or bad, but we have the capacity to influence them. Like an evil thought arises, I don't have to act on it. You know, like kids say, oh, you know, he told me, so I did it, or he did it first. So the mother always says, if he tells you to go to the top of the mountain and jump, will you jump? No, that's a very favorite answer. All mothers have that. So So the tendencies are there, but you have the ability to influence them. So the tendencies, you cannot say, it is my desire, so I just did it. Whether it's a good desire or an evil desire, so you have the tendency to influence. And Om represents God's presence, represents the consciousness, represents the life. And that's why Om is said to be the sound symbol which represents God. So Om is the life, the consciousness that's not only in me, but in all creatures and all plants, all animals, all birds, all fish. So that in brief is the chart. And the goal of meditation and the goal of realization is to quieten the mind, which is running into the world, and focus on the Lord within. And you can focus on the Lord with form or without form. You can focus as sound, as consciousness. So that is this chart. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhatrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Harihi Om.